and Moses has this one-on-one relationship with God. And God sends him to free the Hebrew slaves who were crying out in Egypt. God made an effort to get the Egyptians to come on board with God. God, as he sends Moses to free the Hebrews, remember, we're not going to read this today, but he tried to get the Egyptians to understand that God was Lord. He sent the plagues, remember that? And every time the plagues came, the Pharaoh still insisted on refusing that God was Lord and that it was his power that counted. Well, our text today begins at that place where Moses has led the Hebrew slaves right up to the edge. They're standing on the edge of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are coming after them. They are standing at the edge of the water waiting for deliverance. So this comes from the 14th chapter of Exodus. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So when was the last time that your entire community, perhaps this community, the community of Wesley Church, felt that you were backed into a corner with nowhere to go? When was there a time when it seemed like there was no way out? And the freedom to be creative and life-giving and loving people seemed to be beyond your reach. And instead, you wandered through a time in the wilderness. Well, you see, God has been working to get this community of Hebrew slaves out of their bondage. God has been working to bring them into a life of freedom and a life of safety. God chose Moses to lead them. He sent Moses to lead them out, and Moses' job was really to speak for God as God instructed so that the Hebrew slaves could leave Egypt. The Hebrew slaves, in order to leave Egypt, if they were going by the direct route, would have had to walk by the Philistines. Now, do you remember anything about the Philistines? The Philistines were those folks that David fought. Do you remember the David and Goliath story? They were a brutal army. And so God, rather than have the Hebrew slaves, who were already worn out and exhausted, get placed in a situation where they would have to fight another people, God sends them by day a pillar, that gives them the understanding of where God is guiding them and leading them to move. And at nighttime, he guides them with a pillar of fire and this this cloud goes out in the daytime and the fire goes out at nighttime, and it leads them through and wanders. They have to wander a whole way around through the desert and wilderness instead of going and walking by the Philistines. Moses' first words in this text this morning are, "Do not fear," right? Do not fear. Important words for us. This story today of deliverance and what we learn in this text is that God's plan was to win over the Egyptians, right? Said God wanted them to know that He is Lord. Pharaoh and his power cannot beat the ways of God. So the entire scene at the Red Sea, everything that happens at the Red Sea, becomes deliverance for those who trust, those who believe, those who take the risk to step their foot into that land that was the dry ground that was between the parted waters. All those who were able to allow God to guide them. All the believers came through the Red Sea that day, and those whose hearts were hardened did not. Now bear with me a minute, because read that text one more time. It says that the Lord hardened the hearts of the Egyptians. This is a text that we don't preach in lectionary, and there's a reason for that. It's a very, very difficult text. The Lord hardened the hearts of the Egyptians. We have to understand that deliverance does not come easy, and it may come at a tremendous cost to others. The Egyptians don't survive. But there's another so this other side to this story, the victory of the Israelites moving through the Red Sea, the other side to the story, you see, is quite tragic. But God's intention is to use it for good, to gain His glory. The deliverance through Jesus Christ came at a tremendous cost. Jesus gave His life as a ransom. A ransom so that all would know the glory of God. In our community life, we need to listen for the cries of those who need our care and be aware of the consequences if our hearts are hardened. We will do well to remember that the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Amen? Amen. Well, as I was dealing with this text, the voice of my friend and colleague, some of you may know, Pastor Lorenzo Hill over at Cranford United Methodist Church, came loud and clear in my ears. Lorenzo will always say, "Mercy, mercy, mercy." This is a hard, hard text. God works in mysterious ways. 2 weeks ago, I was to have stood here to preach this very text, this sermon on deliverance, when I received a phone call from our son. Perhaps that call was the burning bush. And God sent me to be with our son Ives. And so instead of preaching about deliverance, I began to experience God's deliverance. I began to experience what it is for God to shape and form a community around the cries of a mother worried for her son. Every time I read that place in Scripture where God sends a messenger somewhere and read those words, "Do not be afraid," Moses' very first words today, I realize how frequently human fear leads us away from God. that our faith is supposed to be our guide. Our faith is supposed to be that pillar of fire that leads us by night. While I was in Nashville, I was looking out at a situation which clearly I was not equipped to handle. And I tried to listen and watch for God's guidance through those days and let that pillar of fire, let my faith carry me through. There really wasn't any clear visual pillar in front of me. It was pretty confusing for me at the time. Living out my faith during Ives' hospitalization meant that I need to live somewhere in the tension between understanding God's good promises for a full life and the tension of not yet. I became aware of others around me that were also listening and watching and waiting to understand where they needed to take the next step. There was a medical community around us, and let me tell you, we were surrounded by the top, number one in the country, medical doctors, nurses, social workers. Everyone that worked with us had incredible ability to handle our situation. So that community began to take shape around us. Then the art department at the school where I attend, his professors, his administrators began to surround. Friends came to be with Ives and with me. We have some neighbors in Nashville that we've gotten to know. Our kids have been in school there since 2003, so we've gotten to know some people there, and our neighbors were a helpful support. I had recently some family friends who had moved to Nashville, and he is also happens to be a United Methodist pastor, and he and his wife are good friends, and they offered me support and some resources while I was there. My cell phone became my lifeline. I mean, that's how I stay connected with Paul, with our boys, with my friends here. It was how I stayed connected with you all, and it was the one thing that I needed to hear from you all as I was going through those days. I'm thankful to West End United Methodist Church. It's the church where I worshiped in Nashville the two Sundays that I was there, for Michael Williams, their pastor. He is a phenomenal storyteller, wonderful preacher, and he offered me a very compassionate presence. And as I arrived home here, our family was greeted with meals and cards and well wishes. So all of this community formed around us in these last 2 weeks to deliver us into a new reality, to deliver us through parted waters for the sake of our son and for our family. All in all, I can tell you that this experience was far more powerful for me than understanding it through studying it and reading it in a text. So here is how I think that God will use my experience of deliverance right here at Wesley Church. Here is why I think that God offered me that experience these last couple of weeks. I want to share with you that when I arrived here in July and I began getting to know many of you, I understood that there was an underlying anxiety and a disappointment and a despair, a lot of concern over the future of this church. I understood there was a serious amount of fatigue here, and that for me was something at the time that I didn't understand. Now, you may not be slaves in Egypt, but something you have experienced was some kind of a burden that you carried or a bondage, a place where you all seemed to just desire some liberation. It's a difficult thing to deal with ongoing uncertainty, not to know what is going to happen next, and then in July for you not to know who was coming next. And it's natural to want to know that everything is going to be secure, and to see that pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire, to see visually God's presence here. But my friends, the scripture this morning remind us that deliverance is something that God accomplishes. God alone accomplishes our deliverance. God is fighting for us. And it says in scripture this morning, the Lord is fighting for you. You need only to be still. I don't take that as being a stillness where you don't enact your Christian faith. I take it as being a stillness in your faith, an assurance, a stillness in your heart about the love that God has for you, so that you can embody the gospel of Jesus Christ for others. So God is fighting for this community, Wesley Church. God will accomplish our deliverance. God continues to part the waters here in this community. Now, I know that after having two pastors who have suffered from depression, I can understand if you are concerned about my situation. And I understand if you feel anxious about that. But your support for me and our family will be part of what God does to nurture and sustain us. I'm with you in a different way today than I was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks later, I understand the anxiety. I understand the concern and worry about the future. I understand the fatigue. I understand what it all is that you have experienced. And I know what it means to wait in the tension of God's promises. But what is not yet? I know what it is to have to surrender more than I ever thought I would be able to surrender. And I also know what it is to trust God fully for all that lies ahead. Everything that lies ahead of us, the only step I can take is to trust God fully in that. My experience of fear and concern over the future has intersected with yours. And in fact, it's intersected with our bishop's if we take her call to fast with her together, the same, that we all have a fear and an uncertainty about what lies ahead for the church. And my hope and desire is the same as yours. It's for all of us to live a full, creative, a life that enacts and shares the love of Christ with others with vibrancy and with fullness. And I expect that we will grow in that as we trust God in all that lies ahead. God intends for us to embody the gospel of Jesus Christ here. Here's the thing. The Lord is fighting for us. The Lord God is fighting against Egypt. The Lord God fights against those. He fights for those who have not been liberated. The Lord God fights for those who are not free of despair. The Lord God fights for those who fear stepping into the waters of that are parted, not sure what will happen next. The Lord's fighting for this community against Egypt. And Egypt for this community may be uncertainty. It may be the feeling of being in bondage by financial concerns, the anxiety of the spiritual health here, the loss of fullness and membership, the fear of the future, But yet the Lord is fighting for us here. However we define Egypt in this place, it's a powerful force that threatens to take away the freedom to live creatively and fully as God intended. But God is fighting against that force. Together, you and I, we all together, if we allow the guidance of God in our faith, and if we accept the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, by the grace of God, we too will be delivered to a new future. I spoke this morning with our children about the nature of our words, that our words can offer deliverance, that our words can be safe passage through a difficult time, that the words that we speak have the power to deliver mercy and forgiveness and love. Words can create a new reality. I close with this one story, this one recent historical event, horrible event, when the people of Haiti suffered the terrible tragedy, loss of lives, loss of normal daily routines, an already impoverished culture. And yet after that earthquake hit, the people of Haiti chose deliverance. There was nowhere for them to go. They had no choice but to step through the parted waters. They had no choice but to grieve, to find their injured, to figure out how to provide food for their communities. They had no choice but to find new homes, new places to rest. One of the first photos I remember seeing coming out of Haiti was a mother with a brand newborn child living in a makeshift tent. Well, an international community gathered there, right? All the rescue relief workers, the professional contractors, medical relief workers, child advocates, the international community gathered around them. But according to those who were in Haiti during those early relief efforts, it was the people of Haiti whose joy and rejoicing were the loudest. The people who were suffering were joyful in the Lord. It was those who were injured that began as soon as they were able to get up and walk out of their bed. They were the ones who began serving in the hospitals. They were the ones that began creating homes for people who had no homes. They were the ones who were teaching their children who had no schools to go to. The people of Haiti embodied their faith. They reminded us that God is always with us, that we are not alone, and that God will never let us go. The people of Haiti are living witnesses to hope. They are the visual pillars that enable us to see the evidence of God's presence. Our faith in Christ Jesus offers us freedom to live without fear in all circumstances. Jesus Christ parted the waters that we too will be delivered through. May God, in all of His power, in all of His grace and mercy, form this community, delivering us together into fullness of life, a life filled with love and hope and rejoicing. May God give us all peace. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you so much that your arm is mighty and strong to save. We thank you for the deliverance that even now you are offering us, each one of us individually, in all those difficult places where we feel that we have been made less of, in those places where we feel that we have been restricted and held in bondage. And Lord God, we surrender that over to you because we know that you alone are fighting for us, that you will deliver us into fullness of life, that through Jesus Christ we can have hope and joy and be assured of your presence, of your love, and of your grace. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.